Welcome to installment 53 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains five commandments. Positive commandment 166, to rest on the first day of Sukkot. Prohibition 327, not to work on that day. Positive commandment 167, to rest on the eighth day of Sukkot. And prohibition 328, to rest on that day. And prohibition 199, beginning the laws of Pesach, not to eat chametz, leavening, on the 14th day of Nisan after noontime. Over the last few days, we have been discussing the idea of work on Yom Tov, on a Jewish holiday. And in each of the specific holidays, we have had a separate positive commandment to rest on this holiday and a prohibition not to work on this holiday. And so too, for the first four mitzvahs of today's portion, we have positive commandment 166 to rest on Sukkot and prohibition 327 not to work on Sukkot. Both two sides of the same coin. As the verse states in Leviticus 23:35, first of all, Bayim Arishon Mikra Kedesh, that on the first day it shall be a holy assembly, which as the Rambam explained earlier in Sefer HaMitzvahs, anytime you have Mikra Kedesh, indicates that one must sanctify the day by refraining from work. Then the second half of the verse says, Kol Melechos Aveda Lo Yisasu, you may not do any sort of work. This is the prohibition 327 not to work on this day. Positive commandment 167 is in the very next verse, which says, Bayim Hashmini Mikra Kedesh Yeh Lachem, that on the eighth day of this holiday it should also be a holy assembly. Again, meaning that there is a positive requirement to rest on this eighth day, known as Shmini Atzeres. Then, at the end of that verse, also the statement, Kol Melechos Aveda Lo Yisasu, do not do any sort of work, teaches us the prohibition 328 not to work on this day, Shmini Atzeres. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, this concludes the Rambam's discussion of the six holidays. The first day of Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of Sukkot and the end of Sukkot. And therefore, the Rambam gives some general ideas governing these the positive commandments and the negative one. Therefore, in positive commandment 167, the last of the positive commandments of rest on Yom Tov, the Rambam describes what is this rest. We have defined malacha, or work, in our discussion of Shabbos, that this is any of the 39 categories of creative activity which were used in the construction of the tabernacle in the desert. And so, too, that same word is used here in discussion of the holidays. However, the Chumash distinguishes and says, in this case, anything which is necessary for the preparation of food, this may be done on Yom Tov. These are known as melechas eichel nefesh, work necessary for the preparation of food. And this is the primary difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, that on Shabbos these acts are prohibited, whereas on Yom Tov they are allowed. As we have discussed over the last few days, there are a number of things which we might consider to be necessary for the preparation of food, which are nevertheless prohibited on Yom Tov, such as squeezing fruit for its juice into a cup, or into squeezing lemon into a tea, or lighting a fire if one has no flame, which might be considered necessary for the food, but are nevertheless prohibited on Yom Tov. But other things, such as cooking from an already existing fire, although prohibited on Shabbos, is allowed on Yom Tov. Although this exclusion, that the only acts of work which are prohibited are those not pertaining to the preparation of food, is stated only by the holiday of Passover, by Pesach, nevertheless, our sages learn that this same principle applies to all of the holidays. The Ramban, in his commentaries on the Chumash, explains that this is hinted to later on, that the verse states, Kol Melechos Aveda Lo Yisasu, any work which is Aveda, which is an act of work, meaning to exclude any act of work which is necessary for the preparation of food. This malachas aveda, this is what is prohibited on Yom Tov. In general, then, the principle is that anything which is prohibited on Yom Tov is also prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the difference between them is primarily those things involving preparation of food. Nevertheless, the Rambam adds that there are some things, even though they are not necessary for the preparation of food, which nevertheless are permitted on Yom Tov and prohibited on Shabbos. This is not the only difference. And an example which might be brought from the Gemara is the example of carrying outside, heitzah, from one domain to another. Although this is not necessary for the preparation of food, nevertheless, our sages allowed it on Yom Tov, although not on Shabbos, in order to add to the joy of the day. Although the Rambam doesn't mention it, there is a case discussed in the Shulchan Aruch where we are more strict on Yom Tov than on Shabbos. And the reason for this additional strictness is for this very reason. In order that people should not come to treat Yom Tov very lightly, since all sorts of acts of malacha are permitted on Yom Tov, therefore they were stricter in some regard in Yom Tov over Shabbos. An example of this would be muktzah, objects which are not allowed to be moved on Shabbos or Yom Tov. On Shabbos, the law is that anything which is capable of being used as animal food may be moved on Shabbos. An example might be a banana peel or an orange peel. However, a peel which is unfit even for animal consumption, such as a nutshell or an eggshell, these may not be moved on Shabbos. Therefore, an egg, for example, should be peeled right over the garbage pail, since after the shell has been separated from the egg, one is not allowed to move the eggshell. On Yom Tov, the law is that we are even stricter, that although on Shabbos one would be allowed to move an orange peel or a banana peel, since it is still fit for animal consumption, on Yom Tov the law is that one would not be allowed to move such a banana peel or orange peel. It would have the identical status as an eggshell or a nutshell which is inedible. For another reason, since on Yom Tov our sages were strict even about neilat, and this is considered to be a newly created substance, since previously the orange was part of a food capable of human consumption, meaning an orange which could be eaten by a person, but once it has been peeled and the orange has been eaten or the banana has been eaten, then this peel of the banana or outside of the orange is now considered only animal food, and it has been created, so to speak. And although the final law is that on Shabbos it is permitted to move, nevertheless on Yom Tov it is prohibited. In Prohibition 328, in his discussion about the prohibition of working on Shmini Atzeres, the Rambam reiterates some of these points we have mentioned in Positive Commandment 167, and adds another fact, that anyone that does an act of malacha on one of these six holidays gets lashes. He is punished by Malkus, which the Rambam often brings as a proof to show that this law counts as one of the 613 commandments, or one of the 365 prohibitions, that if one incurs lashes, this is automatically a proof that this is a biblical violation. The Rambam mentions in both commandments, 167 and 328, Prohibition 328, that the details are discussed in the Tractate Beya, otherwise known as the Tractate Yom Tov. With Prohibition 199, the final commandment of today's portion, we begin the laws of Passover. The first one of these prohibitions is a prohibition not to eat chametz. Chametz is defined as any one of the five grains, wheat, rye, oats, spelt, or barley, which has come in contact with water and has been allowed to sit for 18 minutes. It is then considered to be leavened, chametz, and one is forbidden from eating it on Pesach. However, this is not today's commandment. Pesach actually begins on the 15th of Nisan, at nightfall, as all Jewish days begin at nightfall. The day before is known as Erev Pesach, the day preceding Pesach, and it is singled out as a holiday even though it is before Pesach, since it is on that day that the Passover sacrifice was offered in the temple. It is on this day, Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, that Prohibition 199 applies to, that after 12 o'clock approximately, after the noontime, on this 14th day of Nisan, one is prohibited from eating chametz. This is in addition to the regular prohibition on Pesach, which we will be discussing in the following mitzvahs. However, even on Erev Pesach, after 12 o'clock, one is prohibited from eating chametz. This commandment is derived from the discussion in the book of Deuteronomy about the Passover sacrifice, after which it is said, "Leisechal alav chametz," do not eat literally upon it chametz. And our sages interpret this curious statement that alav is referring to the Passover sacrifice, and one should not eat chametz when it is being slaughtered, meaning at the time that the Passover sacrifice is being offered. one is not allowed to eat chametz. And that is the meaning of that you shall not eat upon it, meaning upon the Passover sacrifice. At the same time that it is being offered, one is not allowed to eat chametz. And since the time that the Passover sacrifice may be offered is Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, after 12 o'clock, this is the same time that one is prohibited from eating chametz. It differs from the prohibition of eating chametz on Passover itself in that it is not punishable by kares or excision of the soul, as we will discuss in our discussion of that mitzvah. However, the violation of prohibition 199 is punishable by malchus, by lashing, as discussed at the beginning of the tractate Psachim. Counting this commandment as one of the 613 is quite controversial, as the Ramban and the Raivid disagree and say that, of course, one may not eat chametz on the 14th. However, it does not count as a separate mitzvah. Therefore, the Rambam brings three proofs from the tractate Psachim to bring out how we know that this counts as one of the 613 mitzvahs. First of all, the Rambam quotes the Gemara Psachim, which asks the question, how do we know that someone eats chametz on the day before Passover, on the 14th, after 12 o'clock, after the sixth hour of the day, is violating a laisesa, a prohibition of the Torah? And the Gemara answers by quoting this verse we have mentioned previously, that one may not eat chametz when the Passover lamb is being slaughtered. But we see that the Gemara asks, how do we know it is a laisesa? This is the expression normally used to indicate a biblical prohibition. This is the first proof that Rambam gives. A second proof is another quote from the Gemara, which says, that everybody agrees that from 6 hours and afterwards, that is a biblical prohibition. 6 hours, meaning counting from the beginning of sunrise until the sun sets, dividing it into 12 portions, and these are considered hours. Not hours as 60 minutes on the clock, but rather hours which adjust according to the length of the day. Therefore, we would count 6 hours, 6 of these periods, and this would be noontime. And the Gemara says, according to the Rambam, that according to everybody, that this is a biblical prohibition. The Rambam now adds a bibliographical note, since not every version of the Talmud says that it is prohibited by biblical law. In fact, our versions of the Talmud today do not say that it is prohibited d'oraisa by biblical law. They merely say asur, it is prohibited. And this would be a proof for the Ramban that it is merely prohibited by rabbinic decree or automatically prohibited, and therefore not a biblical violation. However, the Rambam brings his note that in all of the versions of the Talmud that he has seen, which have been checked with the Chochmah HaTalmud, the sages of the Gemara, which the Rambam is evidently referring to the Ga'anim, the previous generation of sages, after the closing of the Gemara, all of the copies which have been looked over by the Ga'anim contain the statement that it is prohibited mid'oraisa by biblical law, therefore substantiating the Rambam's claim that it is a biblical prohibition. To understand the third proof, we must give a little bit of an example of how and when chametz is prohibited on Erev Pesach. Just to make things simple, let us assume that sunrise is 6 o'clock in the morning, noon would be 12, and 6 o'clock at night would be sunset. Then the end of the sixth hour, would counting from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and so on, the end of the sixth hour would be 12 o'clock. Our sages, says the Gemara, our sages prohibited the consumption of chametz an hour before, at the beginning of the sixth hour. Why do they prohibit it then at 11 o'clock instead of at 12? And the Gemara says in order that a person should not come to a biblical prohibition, implying therefore that eating it after 12 o'clock is a biblical prohibition, again proving that this counts as one of the 613 mitzvahs.